Welcome back to the UAP Research Deep Dive with UAP Caucus. Today we're going to be diving into some fascinating research by Massimo Teotirani. And this paper really kind of argues that we can study UAPs, especially those mysterious nocturnal lights, with the same rigor that astronomers use to study the stars.
Yeah, it's a really intriguing approach. I think Teotirani's paper is really kind of pushing for a shift away from speculation, you know, and more toward hard data and analysis.
Yeah, which is what we need if we want to get to some real answers.
Right? Well, exactly.
But I have to say, like, studying UAPs just feels so different from observing, you know, a predictable star. Where do you even begin with something like this?
Right. Yeah. They are UAPs are notoriously unpredictable, which makes them, you know, incredibly challenging to study. It's not like a star that you can, you know, reliably point your telescope at. It sits there in one spot. Mm. UAP sightings are just so sporadic, so random.
Yeah.
It's almost like trying to, you know, study a firefly that only flashes once a month. You never know when or where it's going to appear.
So how can we apply that level of scientific rigor to something that's so elusive?
Well, Teotirani suggests, you know, focusing on what we call the nocturnal lights phenomenon, which is, you know, very common. A lot of UAP reports feature these lights. And just like astronomers use, you know, telescopes and other instruments to study the stars, we can actually use very similar tools to analyze these lights. You know, we're talking about multi-wavelength sensors, high-speed cameras, even spectroscopy, which can, you know, really break down the light and help reveal its secrets.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's not just about, like, catching a blurry photo or video. We're talking about dissecting the light itself, like taking a fingerprint.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is. And what's even more interesting is that, you know, Teotirani emphasizes studying the variability of these lights. You know, think of it like observing a binary star system, right? As the two stars orbit each other, their combined brightness changes periodically,
right,
due to eclipses. And so by studying these variations, astronomers can actually deduce the size, the mass, and even the distance of these stars.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this could work. So by observing how the light from a UAP changes over time, we might be able to learn something about its physical properties.
Exactly. You know, we can analyze how the brightness fluctuates, whether the color shifts, you know, are there any patterns or pulses in the light? All of this can provide really valuable clues about what might be causing this phenomenon.
So what are some of the specific measurements that Teotirani suggests we take?
Well, he starts with high-resolution imaging. You know, getting a clear picture, as you mentioned, is essential. But then, to figure out the distance and size, he suggests using triangulation. And triangulation basically involves observing the UAP from multiple locations. It's a technique that, you know, surveyors use all the time to measure distances here on Earth. And by applying it to UAPs, we can actually start to create a 3D map of their position and get a sense of their actual size.
Triangulation, that makes sense. Yeah. Are there any other key measurements?
Yeah, he also emphasizes luminosity measurements.
Okay.
So, you know, by understanding how much light a UAP is actually emitting, we can get a sense of the energy involved. Think of it like, you know, comparing a firefly to a spotlight. Even if they appear equally bright from a distance, obviously the spotlight is producing far more energy.
And if we're talking about, you know, UAPs potentially exhibiting, you know, incredible speeds and maneuvers, that energy source has to be pretty substantial.
Exactly. And that leads us to one of the most fascinating aspects of Teotirani's approach, the study of magnetic fields.
Okay. Magnetic fields. Now, this is where things start to get really interesting.
Yeah.
But how do those even come into play with UAPs?
Well, a lot of UAP reports, you know, people describe these strange electromagnetic effects, you know, compasses going haywire, car engine stalling, lights flickering. And so if UAPs are indeed generating these strong magnetic fields, it could explain a lot of these observations.
So we're not just talking about, like, magnets sticking to a fridge here. We're talking about potential forces that are strong enough to disrupt electronics.
Right.
And maybe even play a role in propulsion.
It's a possibility, and that's what makes studying magnetic fields so crucial. You know, Teotirani suggests using sensitive magnetometers to detect any fluctuations that might be correlated with UAP sightings. It is tricky because, you know, there's a lot of background noise from things like power lines, solar flares. But if we can isolate a clear signal associated with a UAP, that would be a major breakthrough.
A breakthrough in terms of understanding how they might work or even what they might be.
Potentially both. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's dig a little deeper into these magnetic field measurements. It gets pretty fascinating. One of the things that Teotirani really emphasizes is something called the inverse cube law.
Okay.
Which is, you know, it's a fancy way of saying that magnetic fields, they weaken very quickly as you move away from the source.
Okay, so even if our instruments detect a relatively weak magnetic field, the actual field strength at the UAP itself could be enormous.
Exactly. Imagine like a light bulb. Up close, it's blindingly bright. But as you walk away, the light spreads out. It gets dimmer.
Right.
And the same principle applies to magnetic fields. So even a tiny reading at a distance could suggest a tremendously powerful field, you know, right there at the source.
That's a really important point. So if a UAP is zipping around and our magnetometers pick up even a slight blip, it could be a sign of something truly extraordinary.
Exactly. It's like, you know, if we find a faint radio signal from a distant galaxy, the fact that we can even detect it at all suggests an incredibly powerful source, you know, millions of light years away.
So even these, like, subtle magnetic readings could be a huge clue. So what kind of field strengths are we talking about here? Could they actually be strong enough to affect things like, you know, those car engines and compasses, like some of those reports that we hear?
Well, to put it in perspective, you know, ball lightning, which some people compare to UAPs, might have a magnetic field of around, say, half a Tesla,
okay,
which is pretty strong, you know. But scientists have actually created magnets in labs that are thousands of times stronger.
Wow, thousands of times.
Yeah.
That's mind-boggling to think that a UAP could be generating that level of magnetic force.
It is. And if we can confirm these kinds of readings, it would have major implications.
Yeah.
I mean, for one thing, it would challenge our current understanding of physics. We simply don't know of any natural phenomena that can produce those kinds of localized, intense magnetic fields.
So it would force us to kind of rethink what we know about electromagnetism, or maybe even discover entirely new principles at work.
Exactly. And on a more practical level, it might lend some credibility to, you know, certain theories about UAP propulsion.
Right.
For instance, there's a concept called the EM drive, which supposedly uses electromagnetic waves to generate thrust.
I've heard of that one. It's pretty controversial, though, right?
It is. And there's still a lot of debate about whether it actually works.
Yeah.
But if we can show that UAPs are, you know, manipulating strong magnetic fields, it would certainly give those kinds of theories a boost.
It's almost like finding a missing puzzle piece, right? Suddenly, all these seemingly disparate phenomena, the lights, the strange electromagnetic effects, the reports of incredible maneuvers, they could all start to fit together.
That's a great way to put it. The more we learn about these potential magnetic fields, the closer we might be to understanding the very nature of these objects.
So where does all of this lead us? What's the next step in this, like, scientific investigation of UAPs?
Well, as you can imagine, collecting reliable data is the biggest hurdle.
Sure.
We need more than just anecdotal accounts and blurry photos. We need high-quality data from calibrated instruments.
So what does that look like in practice? Are we talking about, like, setting up special observatories that are dedicated to UAP research?
That's certainly one possibility. There are already projects like, you know, the Galileo project.
Right.
That are working to deploy, you know, networks of sophisticated sensors around the world.
Okay.
The goal is to capture as much data as possible. You know, visual, electromagnetic, you name it, whenever a UAP event occurs.
It sounds like we're entering a new era of UAP research. Instead of relying on these chance encounters and eyewitness testimony, we're proactively going out and looking for evidence.
Hmm.
But what happens once we gather all this data? How do we make sense of it?
That's where the real detective work begins. We'll need to analyze the data, look for patterns, correlations, anomalies. It's about separating the signal from the noise, you know, identifying what's truly unusual and what might have a more mundane explanation.
So it's not just about collecting raw data. It's about filtering it, analyzing it, and interpreting it in a way that can help us understand what we're seeing.
Exactly. And that's going to require expertise from multiple disciplines, you know, physicists, astronomers, data scientists, even engineers. It's a truly interdisciplinary challenge.
It seems like the scientific community is starting to take this issue a lot more seriously these days. But I'm curious, what do you think has been the biggest obstacle to getting, you know, researchers involved in UAP studies?
Well, for a long time, you know, UAP research was considered taboo.
Right.
There was a stigma attached to it, a fear of being associated with fringe science or conspiracy theories.
Which is a shame, because as we've been discussing, there's a lot of potentially valuable science to be done here.
Absolutely. But thankfully, that perception is starting to change.
Yeah.
We're seeing more and more scientists, including some very prominent ones, coming forward and saying, hey, there are genuine questions here that deserve to be investigated.
It seems like we're finally moving beyond the era of dismissing UAPs outright. and toward a more open-minded scientific approach. But let's say for a moment that we do find, you know, compelling evidence that some UAPs are not natural phenomena, not human-made technology, but something truly other. What would be the implications of that?
That's a profound question, and one that, you know, we can only speculate about at this point. But if we were to confirm the existence of an advanced non-human intelligence, it would be one of the most significant discoveries in human history.
It would completely change your understanding of our place in the universe, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. It would force us to reevaluate everything we thought we knew about ourselves, our place in the cosmos, and even the very nature of reality. Imagine the philosophical, the scientific, even the religious implications.
It's mind-boggling to even think about. But before we go too far down that rabbit hole, let's circle back to the science for a moment. Titirani's paper focuses on nocturnal lights. But there's so many other types of UAP reports, right?
That's true. And while his research provides, you know, a really valuable framework, it's important to remember that it's just one piece of the puzzle. We need to continue exploring all avenues of investigation, from analyzing radar data to studying eyewitness accounts to really get a complete picture.
So essentially, every piece of evidence, every data point, can potentially contribute to our understanding.
Exactly. And that's why it's crucial to approach this topic with an open mind, but also with a healthy dose of skepticism. You know, we need to be rigorous in our analysis and careful not to jump to conclusions.
So it's a balancing act, right? Between being open to the possibility of something truly extraordinary while staying grounded in scientific principles and critical thinking.
Precisely. It's about finding that sweet spot between curiosity and skepticism. And I believe that by embracing that approach, we can make significant progress in unraveling the mystery of UAPs.
Yeah, it's like we're piecing together this giant jigsaw puzzle, and each new piece of data, whether it's a magnetic field reading or an eyewitness account, helps us see the bigger picture more clearly. But, you know, speaking of different pieces of the puzzle, what are some of the more, I don't know, unconventional or even out there theories that researchers are exploring when it comes to UAPs?
Well, some scientists have proposed this idea of plasma life forms, you know.
Okay.
Imagine, like, beings not made of flesh and blood, but of ionized gas, similar to what we see in lightning or the aurora borealis.
So instead of little green men, we're talking about, like, glowing balls of energy zipping through the sky.
Exactly. It might sound like science fiction, but some research suggests that, you know, plasma under certain conditions can actually behave in ways that resemble biological systems. You know, they can self-organize, they can replicate, they can even evolve, which, you know, really kind of challenges our traditional definition of life.
It's a reminder that we might not even be looking for the right kind of life as we understand it. Our current definition could be too narrow.
That's a really crucial point. We tend to define life based on what we know, right? Carbon-based life forms like ourselves. But what if there are entirely different forms of life out there based on principles that we haven't even discovered yet?
It's both exciting and a little unsettling to think that we could be, like, completely blind to certain types of phenomena simply because we don't even know what to look for.
That's the beauty and the challenge of scientific exploration, right?
Right.
We have to be willing to constantly question our assumptions and push the boundaries of what we think is possible.
So even if we don't find definitive proof of, you know, aliens or plasma life forms or anything like that, this research could still lead to some incredible breakthroughs in our understanding of the universe.
Absolutely. Imagine discovering a new form of matter, a new energy source, or even a new fundamental force. The implications would be revolutionary, not just for science, but for technology and, you know, really our understanding of our place in the cosmos.
It's almost like we're at the dawn of a new scientific revolution. Similar to when we first discovered electricity or unlocked the secrets of the atom.
There's a sense of that, isn't there? A feeling that we're on the verge of something truly groundbreaking. And who knows? Maybe the answers to the UAP mystery will lead to discoveries that we can't even imagine right now.
That's an incredible thought to leave our listeners with. You know, we've delved into the challenges of UAP research, the scientific tools that we can use, and the potential implications of what we might find. But I think the biggest takeaway for me is that this is a field that's just ripe with possibilities, with the potential to, you know, rewrite textbooks and change our understanding of the universe and ourselves.
Yeah, it's a journey of discovery. And while the destination is uncertain, the exploration itself is, you know, bound to be filled with awe and wonder.
And that's a sentiment I think we can all embrace. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into UAP research. Until next time, keep looking up, Keep asking questions and keep your minds open to the infinite possibilities that the universe holds.